The San Francisco 49ers are off to the Super Bowl bludgeoning an opponent for the second consecutive week. This guy was there on the sidelines. He witnessed, Domino, firsthand that bludgeoning. He is Chris Myers on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks for once again coming on the show.
Yeah, good morning. It's good to be on with you guys. Hope everybody's all right.
Everybody is doing well. Not as well as Kyle Shanahan right now. Not as well as Raheem Mostert. It's the Kyle Shanahan way. He doesn't know who the hot hand is going to be until that game actually begins.
Yeah, and he really has evolved as a head coach slash play caller. We always knew he could call plays, and he sometimes outthinks himself as he's always adjusting that. But with the running back situation, going into that game, I think he thought Coleman was going to be the star runner. And, you know, Matt Breida, who started the year as the top back for the 49ers, has recently had some fumbling problems. And so when that happens, he sits here for a while unless he sees improvement. And that's the irony of Mostert early in his career had that problem. And it was Shanahan who showed more faith in him than others about protecting the football. And he worked special teams and then was able to overcome being cut by other teams. I mean, as I mentioned in the broadcast, kind of a model of persistence and hard work, and he's become a star runner. And Coleman, I saw the latest, should be able to play. I know Falcons fans are familiar with him. So, yeah, he'll have that three-pronged attack. And, you know, they all do the similar things, but then they all do something special. And with the way that his offensive scheme works, I really get the impression, and I've covered the 49ers on three or four different games this year, including that Falcon upset out west, but I think they can run on anybody and control the game that way, and that's how they've been able to win.
Chris Myers with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line, and running the ball like this, it's not supposed to happen at the NFL level. And you talked about people in Atlanta being familiar with it. Kyle Shanahan had to talk about it yesterday, the 28-3 collapse, and I'm certain that's not going to be the only time he's going to be talking about that or answering to it in the days leading up to the game.
Yeah, and if something like that, you know, I was on the sideline for that game. I was over on the Patriots sideline and saw it unfolding, and as long as you learn from something like that, and I think he's probably so grateful that he's getting another chance at this big moment and in a bigger spot where he can control everything. But it's funny, during the course of the year when we sat with him at a production meeting, somehow that came up about the situation, and he almost went out of his way to kind of defend his play calling in that situation, saying if he had it to do over again, it was a kind of a similar, you know, he believed in what he was doing at the time, even though it didn't work out. So hopefully he has learned from that. And that is going to come up, because it was something that he was a part of that should not have happened. But at least he gets a chance here. And the dynamic, I think, other than the Falcon running game, will be the 49er defensive line and the magic of Patrick Mahomes and what he does. That'll be another fascinating part to watch.
It's funny, Chris. I just said it out in the hallway to somebody during one of our breaks. The 49er front will make this game even more interesting. If styles make fights, when you're chasing a guy who has an ability to do spectacular, can you force him to make a mistake while attempting to do spectacular? That's Mahomes and the 49ers defense, in my mind, is he can make the play if he's given a pocket. He can and has made plays when that's fallen apart, but can you force him to make the mistake at that point?
Yeah, and can he kind of like Russell Wilson, you know, wear down the defensive line? In other words, tire them out. They have their four best. They have a plan and a system so that they rest them enough so that they're at their best at the end of the game when they need them to be. And I think that'll be, you know, kind of a fun element to watch. But they're secondary. They cover people well too. So I think that's one side of the ball. But it's funny, going back to Shanahan, he did mention too this week about how he's changed about, you know, talk about making a mistake at the home side, but even on his side, that you know, he's this pass-minded guy, or was, and now with the running game, he's like, too many bad things happen or too many things have to go right on a pass play. The running game is almost simpler if you can get it going.
Oh, really?
Well. And so that's really
nice of this. This timing, the timing of this is so perfect.
That's what everybody right now driving around in the city is saying, that exact same thing, Chris.
Yes, saying, where was that against the Patriots when we needed it the most? Yes, I know. It's funny how these things. See, we live and learn. You're never too old to learn.
Well, speaking of that, you mentioned production meetings. And look, everybody's going to break down this game and they're going to get into the minutia. And that's certainly fine, because it's the Super Bowl and it's legacies on the line and everything else. What are your thoughts on Andy Reid? And tell me what the league, or people in the media plus the league, actually think about Andy Reid getting back to the Super Bowl?
Well, he, you know, it reminds me a little bit, if we go back for some of the older audience, the John Elway. Remember the sentimental guy, right? Even if you weren't a fan of that team, it's like, well, he's been there, he's been close, but is he going to finally get that Super Bowl? You know, is he going to break through? And I think there is some of that around the league. I mean, Andy's always been kind of a popular guy, even in a tough place like Philadelphia, where even if people didn't like the team, you know, you thought Andy was a pretty good guy. And here's a guy who had to adjust his approach lifestyle with a young quarterback and has. Really, they should have been in the Super Bowl the previous year. You know, they got the Patriots pulling off some magic. So I give him a lot of credit for an old dog learning new tricks and adjusting over time with his quarterback. And again, he has a talented quarterback. The defense of Kansas City is one thing I don't know enough about, and I think that, you know, that's not Andy's side of the ball. So where will that take him in this game? Do the 49ers control it? And then what does Mahomes have to constantly play catch up and be running around like you said? So, but as far as what the league views as Andy, I mean, they're you know, I know they're the slight favorites already, but he's going to be the sentimental favorite going into this game from a general perception anyway. At least that's a vibe I get.
Chris Myers from Fox with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. You mentioned being around the Niners a few times this year. I think the misperception is you don't want to get into a shootout with Kansas City. There's no question about that. But if you have to rely on Garoppolo, we've seen moments, including a win in New Orleans, where he certainly can win a game with his arm.
Absolutely. And I every time I kind of doubt, I'm further convinced he comes through when he has to. They had a Cardinal game where they kind of, it was almost like the Atlanta game where the 49ers were sleepwalking through it, thought they were going to lose. This was out in Santa Clara, and Garoppolo lit it up at the end, had a big play on a third down. That's a play for a tie and a field goal that might have been overtime, but hit one of his running backs for a touchdown. And so he's very capable. And I have to tell you, you know, you sit and talk to him, it's refreshing. I mean, he's a guy, he hasn't been jaded by the stardom of it all. You know, he's got the good looks. He's popular. His teammates love him. He grew up, you know, in an Italian family with brothers. You know, his mom texts him. He's got it all going for him here. But he puts in the hard work, and he sat behind Brady, and he took the right kind of things from watching Brady in the Belichick program. He gets to I asked him about, you know, Kyle Shanahan. He calls him Kyle. I said, did you ever call Belichick Bill? He said, no way. Are you kidding? You know, so, but he still gets heckled daily, and he likes that Shanahan is hard on him because it's improving him as a quarterback. So, yeah, is he going to be as good as Mahomes? No, but I think you said it. When he's been called upon to make plays, and then give Shanahan credit too, because he puts him in a position, I think, to succeed with guys like Kittle and a receiving core that's coming on, he can make the plays. That's not, and if he doesn't have to, he doesn't care as long as they win the game. So you can win with him, but just don't count on him. Don't let him be your focal point like Mahomes is with Kansas City.
I'm not telling you it's the only reason, but it is interesting you put it as, when you come from an Italian family with brothers, your balls are going to be busted better by them than by anybody
well,
else who might come down.
You'll be
pipe.
Humbled very quickly.
You see, that's why I let you word. You worded it more so simply and direct, much better than I could. I was searching for the right words, but you kind of laid it out there.
You think Kyle Shanahan's got a better come at you than any one of his Italian brothers? I would guess.
There
not.
You go. Yeah. Right. It's funny because somebody had asked him one of the meetings. Hey, you know, do you get? You know, there was like a practice thing. You got. We'll just say. MF today in practice, and he said, yeah, he said, but I can handle that because I would throw touchdowns and get MF'd in New England for that. So I'm used to it. I can
Perfect.
Handle it.
I'm not asking you to put on the crystal ball cap and say anything definitively because I think it's going to be interesting. But the Tom Brady thing, the Drew Brees thing, the idea that the NFL will have storylines. Look, they want to be a 12-month 365, that's why they moved the draft. We get all the business of it. How fascinated are you as somebody who's in the middle of it to watch how the offseason plays out? Plus now, with the Bengals coming out yesterday and going, who said we wouldn't consider trading number one? I'm more interested in this than I've been in the NFL offseason in a while.
Yeah, I agree. I'm fascinated by this, and I've always been kind of a draft. Now that I've never seen an off season with this kind of star quarterback talent, and then another layer of quarterbacks that you wonder what do they have? A Winston, a Mariota,
so Philip Rivers.
Yeah, for Rivers, right. Another, and it creates a who's buying a house where. And it's funny, I don't think we have that automatic plug-in team, right? That if you say, well, you put this veteran in there and they're going to the Super Bowl. That I don't know that we have that, so there's no natural fit. And then some of the guys are talking about maybe broadcasting. You know, I don't know, but I'm enjoying it. I think, and look, if the Bengals are smart and they can do this, you trade the one, but to pick second to know that you're getting Joe Burrow, but you get something else in return. There's ways to do that. Some teams in the past have been crafty enough to get the guy they want and be able to pick up draft picks because somebody else wants, you know, whatever, Chase Young or so, or some particular player.
Well, I asked the other day, Joe Brady, to me, is going to decide in part, because it's a draft, he'll look at the free agents. Joe Brady might be the key to the whole thing. Does he go to Matt Rhule and say, yeah, that guy's going to win up here. We go seven. Can we actually move all the way up to go get this guy? And are you willing to give up damn near what would be certainly a couple of future number ones.
And maybe the Bengals would take a Herbert out of Oregon with that pick, to your thinking, Chris.
Yeah, I do think there's a big drop-off, and I've called some games, seen Herbert in person. I have not seen Burrow. There's a big drop-off from, in my book, from Burrow and everybody else. And also, when you're a high-drafted quarterback, you not only, as Troy Aikman has pointed out to me, the face of the franchise, you're the CEO in a sense. You're the company label. And Burrow fits all that. Plus, he's an Ohio guy. That's too tailor-made to pass up. But I still like the idea of making some kind of a trade to benefit your team, but ensuring, and then there's ways to do that you can get a guy like Joe Burrow. But it is, your question overall is, I've never seen a year like this where you've had, you know, these Hall of Famers that are still sharp. I mean, the Bradys and the Breeze and the Rivers and then some of the other quarterbacks that we talked about, and then the draft that has some capable arms in it and teams that need quarterbacks. I mean, where's Cam Newton going to go, by the way? And what does he have left? I mean, that's another interesting question.
It is going to be a fascinating offseason. Before we let you go, you mentioned being on the Patriots sidelines for that Super Bowl. When did you start to sense that they were sensing that, hey, we got a shot in this thing?
You know, I was asked about that for a Fox promotional thing for our Super Bowl coverage because I've done worked the game and on the field.
Hold on. For this Super Bowl already, are we really going to have to live with this all over your broadcast?
It's never going to go away.
No, don't worry. It was a separate thing. It won't show up in this Super Bowl broadcast. It was an article about past Super Bowls that I've worked in. I've actually been on the sideline for Steelers, Patriots. So that Patriot, more than one Patriot. But I got to tell you, I thought the Falcons were going to win that game. I had to talk to Belichick at the half of that game. And, of course, he's always so warm and cuddly anyway. And you know what the score was. And so I just never had the impression that the Falcons, once we hit halftime, that the Falcons were not going to win that game like most people. But I will say this, and I watched closely on the sideline and access you have. There was never, and I won't even say panic, there was concern, but it was adjusted concern, and I was impressed how, whether it was Belichick or Brady, there were some heated moments, but how they got into little groups, and they were very confident about, okay, this isn't working, but we should do this, or this part is partially working, or we'll make them do that. And I saw it unfolding. So, but even to the end, until they tied it and forced overtime, I still thought the Falcons were going to be able to win the game because I thought faith in Matt Ryan and the Atlanta offense and the defense had been playing so well.
Be honest, what did you think? What did you think when it went to overtime?
Oh, then it was over. Then the Patriots.
Okay. Let me tell you my experience. I'm going to play Nick Chiellini. Let me tell you my experience. I was in the building.
You're going to make it about him now, Chris.
So I was up in the ancillary. I was in the ancillary media area. And I swear to God, I had guys coming up to me, guys that knew where I was from and guys that I've known, some national guys, and they said, holy, you know, blank, you're going to have a parade on Tuesday. Swear to God, this is what they're coming up to me. We were down in that pit, down below, on floor level, with the big screens watching, because that's where they keep the media. They corral you. You're lucky enough to be on the field during it. I swear to God, before the game even got tied, the same guys coming up to me going, sorry, man. They knew what was going to happen.
Flat out before the game was tied,
a bunch of them came up and said, sorry, man. They knew that you could just, I don't know what you smelled on the sideline. In our little corral area, everybody all of a sudden got that. You don't win. You guys don't. All of a sudden, I was a guy. You guys don't win games like this.
Well, but the Patriots do, and so I think that combination worked. And the irony, again, not to make this about me, but afterwards, when it ended, usually you get a little bit of time if you're the network broadcasting the game to get out ahead and talk to the star player. But in this case, because they let all the media down on the field, and international media, I mean, from everywhere,
yes,
because they thought the game was going to end in regulation. So the security was not enough to hold them all back. And so when the game ended, the producer is yelling to me, get to Brady, you know. And so I even had, like, a security person was supposed to help me and a sideline producer. They both got trampled. They were nowhere to be seen. And the swarm of people, if you go back, well, I had to, like, fight through the crowd. And they had, like, an overhead shot and then eventually got to Brady. And they had to shoot it for, and I was, and he was exhausted. Remember, that was the whole redemption with the Deflategate, and his mother had been battling an illness that week. So there were some real storylines to go with the finish of that game. And I got to him and I said, hey, we want to go live, you know, we want to do this. And he's like, I'm really, can you give me a minute? And the producer's like, we don't have a minute. So I was like, let's go. And I just said, we're on live with Tom Brady. And so it was, if he was going to blow me off, it was going to have to be in front of a Super Bowl audience. And he didn't. He was very respectful, as tired as he was, and was able to answer some poignant questions, as, you know, guys do after a moment like that. But it was an amazing comeback by them. And then the other side, you know how that went.
Chris, you're welcome to come on this program and make it about you any day. We appreciate it.
Oh, it was just one of those moments of physically, I was really, you know, I come from an Italian family of brothers too, but I got a little beat up in that crowd. I mean, there are cameras, you know, how cameras are swinging around. You got bodyguards. It was like an MMA thing going on in there. And I'm just trying to interview a guy.
What happens to you if you don't get to Brady? Crowds, your guy's already gone. Your security got to get you there. What? I'm serious. I don't know if you want to. That's a good question.
I believe me, I was sweating that out because we've had a few where guys have run off or didn't want to talk, and you go to the next guy. When the Patriots lost the Super Bowl, remember their perfect season when they lost to the Giants in Arizona? I had that sideline, and afterwards, the league requires the head coach to at least do an interview, the losing head coach, at some moment, and Belichick didn't want to do it, so I was ready to go to get, I was panicked, going to get Randy Moss, because I knew he'd say something, and then they eventually brought Belichick over. But yeah, to me, as just a fan watching the game, and also the broadcast sense that you, when the game ends, especially like that, you want the quickest, most immediate interview because you're going to get the adrenaline rush. You're going to get the real emotion, whether it's tears, whether it's anger, whether it's relief. You're going to see it and feel it. It's really not about my question or what I'm asking or saying. It's about what people are seeing in their face and their reaction. Sometimes it's not even the words of the player that gets interviewed. So I think that immediacy is really important. I think sometimes we gloss over that in at least some of the NFL the big games. But if we didn't get him, then I would have to go to, you know, be Edelman. It would be the next kind of person that I think would exhibit that or show the audience what that was all about.
That's why you're a pro's pro. Chris Myers, continued success. Hopefully we could talk again real soon.
All right, anytime. You guys are always fun.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Myers with us from Fox on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on The Fan.